Welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of Talkback on Singapore. Today, I'm Daniel Martin, and it is our post-budget 2026 analysis. The key issues that are affecting you, your business, and your continuous learning. About a lot of emphasis happening this year in terms of your skills future, in terms of AI, 6 months membership to some premium AI subscriptions. We're also seeing that 40% corporate tax rebate for companies, new AI tax incentives, the AI adoption with that National AI Council, healthcare announcements, which, you know, I'm always very interested in. And yes, don't worry, CDC vouchers are still there. I know many of you were concerned about that. That's all coming up, and I'm going to open up my phone lines. You can WhatsApp, send across questions. I want you to be a part of the show as I welcome board to my panel on Singapore Today. Joining me, it is Kok Ping Soon, who's CEO of the Singapore Business Federation, along with Ker Sin Lim, partner from PwC Singapore, and public health specialist Dr. Clive Tan from Tan Tock Seng Hospital. My question to you is quite open on today's edition of Talkback. Everybody join me, WhatsApp, voice notes, or call in. What are the things that got you the most excited about Budget 2026? And what do you wish was supported more or announced in greater detail? Let's talk. On Talkback.
Have your say. It's Talkback with Daniel Martin. Call in 669 11938 or WhatsApp 963 11938.
People have already started messaging in, and I'm looking forward to reading their questions as well. But to the panel, hello, welcome. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here live in the studio. Ping Soon, I'm going to start with you. We're going to go around the panel. And you know how it works. In radio, I want everybody to jump in anytime they want. This is a good radio discussion. We're having a good time. It's radio. Let's talk about the fact that, you know, just to start this off, one of my reporters was on site and was speaking actually to Jalan Besar MP Sean Low about what, you know, what was the key point for him. And he said, yeah, the key point was the fact that we had this large surplus to play around with, 1.9% of the GDP. And this, in a way, providing almost an additional buffer. And it's rather exciting in that sense as well. Talk to me about your view. Let's set the scene about how, what we can do with this, and what's got you excited in terms of what we can do with this?
Sure, Daniel. I think that the higher than expected surplus was certainly welcome, keeping in mind that this is the first year of the new term of the government. It certainly affords the government more gunpowder that it can save aside, certainly around the global uncertainty. I think what really got me excited this budget is all the efforts on the AI. We've talked about how AI can be a disruptor to businesses and workers, and rather than being let it disrupt us, I think PM's announcements that really sees the bull by his horn is, I think, what really excites me.
Kersin, let's come to you. That quantum of monies that's used in this year's budget, let's talk.
Yeah, I feel that this is really a pleasant surprise, right? I think it exceeded even the government's own, you know, expectations of this. And a lot was because of front-loading of some of these exports. Singapore's exports really did well. And I think it also signals Singapore's strength in a position of uncertainty and allows us to have a pretty thoughtful and deliberate budget coming forward to lay the groundwork for the next term of government.
I mean, talk about right place, right time, because yes, the forecasts and predictions are for a fairly uncertain, challenging economic outlook for 2026 and beyond.
Yes, and I think the Economic Review Committee also said that they're only aiming for 2-3% for the next 10 years.
Yes.
And really, this could be a bumper year, but how are we able to position ourselves for a strong way forward while everyone is still adjusting their sails?
Clive, let me come to you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the umbrella of this year's budget. How did it strike you?
Thanks so much. I'm again very glad to hear that we are in a fiscal positive position, because like what Ping Soon said, gives us gunpowder for other things. The way I see it is that we are not spending money in an unwise way. We are waiting for good ideas to come up. So PM Wong did mention that he's looking for good ground-up ideas. And I think in the health and social sector, we can be more aggressive and more brave in terms of putting up good ideas, because there is still a health and social gap that we see, especially for the disadvantaged families.
Yes, and I do want to talk about many of the healthcare aspects as well. A lot has been said about the affordability of healthcare in Singapore, about the idea of the premiums that might be paid in terms of private healthcare insurance, hospital wait times. A lot can be addressed and what was announced as well. And we'll definitely come to that on this edition. But first, I have to talk about the big thing, which is the corporate tax rebate. My gosh, 40%. Ping Soon, let me come to you with this as well. What did you think about that? Less than the 50% before.
Yes.
Though, but still something to celebrate for business owners here. What would you say?
Well, any rebate will be welcomed by businesses. As you said, it was certainly slightly lower than last year. For your audience, it was 50% last year. I think it was 40,000, now down to 30,000. And for companies that do not pay tax, I think it's dropped from 2,000 to 1,005. But I suppose this on the back of a strong economic growth, you know, the companies are still roughly doing well. Any help like that would be quite welcome as well.
Kirsten, how does this translate into business optimism and business outlook?
I think this is more transitional support, right? Yeah. The Singapore government has always been quite clear that, you know, they want to enable the businesses to transform, to grow and to be able to run on their own feet, but at the same time cognizant of some of the challenges in terms of rising costs, mm-hmm. in terms of some of these competitive transitions that they do. So as they are moving towards AI, as they're moving towards different energy sources, there's the ability to kind of say, I'm going to still be there for you, but, you know, this is something that we want to ease off along the way. So we'll look to see how this is, but still welcome very much for businesses.
But in a way, if you look at the income tax rebate, after a while from businesses, we kind of hope to see it being a permanent feature of it. Like, no different from CDCs, right?
Yes.
There's been many rounds of CDCs.
There's no guarantee that CDC is permanent. I just want to put it out there as well. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of the very first comments that we got from my listener, Randy, who says that he was disappointed that there was no personal income tax rebate this year round. So while the companies are hoping for some kind of long-term sustained tax rebate incentive, what about the individual? Kirsten, let me come to you. I mean, what kind of weight does that have, the individual?
Yeah, I think this year there wasn't a personal income tax rebate, but there continued to be some cash rebates and also CDC vouchers coming through. So in a different way of distribution, right, mm-hmm. as they are looking at support. So that is certainly something that I think some listeners might be, you know, a little bit disappointed on the personal income tax, yeah. but they might be going for something a little bit broader.
There's also the cost of living.
Yes. Response,
right?
Yes.
There's a targeted approach to the idea of the cost of living, and that's where the CDC vouchers come in. But I really want to zoom in on the idea of the aging population. And Dr. Tan, that's where I want to come to you, because we talked about the company's outlook, but our greatest resource, obviously, is our worker.
Yeah.
It's an aging worker, though.
Yes. There's a lot of talk around the aging workforce, and PM Wong also did mention that he needed to keep the elderly workforce healthy so that they can do things like continue to contribute, mm-hmm. And also senior volunteerism, right? That was something that he mentioned. I think the good thing is that a lot of the healthcare programs and investments were done earlier in the term. So things like Healthier SG, HWell SG have all been rolling out very well, and we are seeing some fruits of that.
Is it enough long-term, though? Our aging population means one in four of us will be 65 plus by 2030. Drawdowns on the healthcare sector, drawdowns in terms of resources, maybe impact in terms of work contribution as well. What are we seeing? Did you see the announcements that you wanted to see in terms of long-term funding for care? And is it sustainable in the long term?
Yeah, I think there was probably not as much on healthcare this time around, but I saw it as good news also, because it means that the investments of the past years are kind of bearing fruit. We will see continued stable growth for the healthcare budget, because a lot of the infrastructure works, like building of new hospitals, will continue over the next few years. Just to give people a sense, we have a few hospitals coming up, like Tengah, Eastern General, and even Tan Tock Seng Hospital is going to build a new tower. So the capacity, infrastructure capacity, is increasing.
But will I still need my private insurance? That's the issue, lah.
Yes. that one, I think the Ministry of Health is working hard at addressing it. There's been a lot of announcements on that recently.
That is indeed.
But on the other side of seniors, I think we also would like to see actually more support, right, for the hiring of senior workers. I think that's one part that's notably absent in terms of emphasis.
We have seen in previous years they laid the foundation in terms of the rehiring structure and re-employability acts and things like that.
Yes.
Maybe that's continuing and that solves the problem, or is there more that needs to be done, you think?
I think more can be done. I think, of course, other than the extension of the senior employment credit to 2027, we've got to look at seniors' employment more structurally. The reality is that the senior workers of today is very different from those 10 years ago. We're getting more PMET workers who are seniors. They may not necessarily look for the same type of jobs, and many of them are white-collar jobs. So how can we tap to this aging pool, increasing new seniors who are in accountants, who are lawyers and all that? And so some form of fractional employment may be needed. So the question is, do we have the systems and processes to support this group of workers? I heard PM say that there's a tripartite work group on this, and maybe we will see more of these announcements in the coming months.
One thing that we had heard a lot of on today's edition, the key buzzword for Budget 2026 has to be AI. AI, AIO, I say. Let's talk. Let's hear from PM Wong in his budget speech earlier today.
For AI to truly transform our economy, companies must also adopt it comprehensively. Many firms say they are using AI, but end-to-end transformation with AI is very demanding. It requires organizing data, rebuilding systems, redesigning processes and jobs, and retraining workers. Even the major global companies are grappling with this. But those that succeed will gain a decisive competitive advantage. A few leading Singapore companies like DBS and Grab are already moving decisively on AI transformation. We want to encourage more to do so. Support will be tailored to each company and will include enterprise transformation and workforce training. And as these companies succeed, they will set benchmarks for their industries and inspire others to follow.
The formation of this National AI Council has grabbed a lot of people's attention. Prime Minister Lee will also head this council. Ping Soon, let's talk about this because this directly affects the business operations. He cited some businesses that are leading the charge in terms of AI transformation. ESR Council gave their recommendations, and AI transformation is a big part of it as well. I'm sure we're going to see it in the debates to come as well. What do you make of these concrete steps that are being taken for AI transformation?
I think it is a very bold step. If you look at it, it's pretty comprehensive in its approach. And you have a council that's chaired no less by the PM himself. So you can see the national level attention.
With ministers as members, which will include our DPM as well.
Exactly. So it's a very high-powered committee. What I like about it is starting to take a more sectorial approach. So the choice of the four missions that are focusing on, I think, is important. I think it's healthcare, finance, advanced manufacturing, and connectivity. These are the sectors which are showing pretty good growth. And this is where AI can really reduce the need for workers. You know, the AI can use to automate many of the tasks. And why a sectorial approach is needed is because for companies to fully benefit from it, you need many enterprise applications that can talk to each other across the supply chain.
Yes.
And hence a sectorial approach is needed. At the same time, I thought it was quite novel. Well, at least I'm going to be taking up the SkillsFuture course so that I could get 6 months.
With a renewed SkillsFuture website that they announced as well, which is going to be easier to navigate. Yeah. I also had too much trouble scrolling through too many pages.
Now, if you complete those courses, we can get 6 months free subscription to Gemini Pro and to ChatGPT Pro. So I think that's something that I think many companies and workers will be looking forward to.
What shall we add on to this, cousin?
I think when we're looking at this, this is really, I agree, a very welcome kind of approach, right, to take a top-down, but at the same time, thoughtfully segmenting whether it's sectorial, whether it's like different stakeholders. I think PM talked about, you know, what we will do for students, what we will do for example, businesses, SMEs, etc., etc. And I think with each of them, there are different concerns, there are different uncertainties, and you know, even in the workforce as we're transforming, just now Ping Soon talked about some of these PMETs who are really a bit uncertain and concerned about job transformation as we move through AI. I think these are holistic aspects that AI Council would be able to look at and be able to hopefully address better from a Singapore kind of all-in approach. So this will all be very welcome, I think, in days to come.
I think businesses is looking forward to that. I mean, some of the statistics show that the adoption of AI by SMEs is very low, at about 14% compared to big companies, 60%. So the sectorial approach is right, but what about companies outside those sectors? What other sectors? In fact, all sectors will be affected.
Yeah.
And the question is that, in fact, some of the more lower productivity sectors today, you know, can they make use of AI if they are not part of the missions? So I think a more broad-based program will be helpful. We want to see the details of the Champion of AI program to see how companies that actually can benefit from it rather than just using the off-the-shelf tools.
I mean, I suppose I can speak for the media sector and Clive for the idea of the healthcare sector as well. I think the quantum of job transformations, we know that new jobs will be created, but in your sector, in your realm, has there been concern about how do we do this the right way?
Thanks so much. So one of the things that you might have heard of related to Healthier SG was the introduction of the new job class, like a health coach.
Yeah.
Right? So for community, they'll be working in the community sector to work with people who have poorer health and try to coach them back into better health. One of the technology that's very instrumental is this is actually AI, because the AI can be used in a chatbot form to support the health coaches. Like the health coaches, it's not possible for them to know everything, right? Because even doctors, nurses, we take so long to get ourselves up to speed to the latest medical knowledge. So having the chatbot beside them, with them, can help them to get the right information at the right time so that they can help the patient. Like Mr. Wong mentioned, you know, AI is a tool, right? AI is a tool, but in the right hands, it can really make a difference. And healthcare is always very human touch.
Has your sector really grasped onto how to start employing it? I'm seeing a lot of AI transformation being led by the doctors and the medical experts, but are the nurses on the ground seeing it? Are the back end seeing it? Is the idea of AI transformation, I think that what we're all grappling with in different sectors and organizations is, the best form of transformation is how it affects every level.
So the good thing is that all three healthcare clusters have invested in AI over the years. So they all have their own like center of AI. So for Tan Tock Seng and Lee Kong Chian School of Medicine, we actually have a center for AI in medicine. And that has helped us to push for certain developments. You might have heard of AI helping us to scan like breast cancer mammograms and also
eyes. Well.
Yeah. So all that is you know, in the pipeline and coming up really nicely.
I like that. I want to hold up my iPhone and diagnose a glaucoma just like that one day. Like that'll be the goal. Let's just make sure we don't have AI hosting the health program on radio, which I've done.
You
for
may
the
be
last
replaced soon.
20
Daniel.
Years, no, gone already, no need already. Speaking of the idea of health, I want to touch very quickly on the idea, since I've got you, Clive, healthcare costs, insurance premiums, the idea of the MediShield Life and the Integrated Shield premiums, and their rising factors as well. Affordability concerns is a major factor out of this year's budget 2026.
Yeah, it is something that even amongst doctors we discuss. I think that there is no easy solution to this. It's not a problem that can go away because other societies, other countries are also having it. So it is a problem that we need to manage because it's about balancing. And I think the Ministry of Health is trying its best to keep premiums low as the population ages, but also as technologies and medicines get more expensive because of the R&D that goes into them.
Yeah. That Champions of AI program that you heard Ping Soon mention, by the way, that's going to be rolled out to help firms adopt AI more comprehensively. I'm sure I'll be interviewing some of you champions on my show in the weeks ahead. We're learning more about some of the key announcements and major updates from Budget 2026.
Let me summarize our fiscal position. For financial year 2025, we expect higher revenues. This is partly due to the better-than-expected economic performance, which I shared earlier. Another key driver is the increase in our corporate income tax collections. In financial year 2024, corporate income tax contributed 4% of GDP, and that was significantly higher than in past years. I talked about this in our last budget. Based on the latest estimates, we expect corporate income tax collections to increase further in FY 2025. We also saw higher asset-related revenue collections
earlier in the delivery of Budget 2026. So yes, an exciting option, an opportunity to have that additional buffer. Having said that, it is forecast to be a more challenging economic outlook for 2026 and beyond. And we have got our forecasts in as well for GDP growth. So coming out of Budget 2026, what affected you? What affected your company? What affected your employees?
Have your say. It's Talkback with Daniel Martin. Call in 669 11938 or WhatsApp 963 11938.
Joining me is CEO of the Singapore Business Federation, Kok Ping Soon. Kersin Lim is here, partner from PwC Singapore, along with Dr. Clive Tan, public health specialist and senior consultant from Tan Tock Seng Hospital. Let's talk about the idea of the family and the senior in Singapore.
In this budget, we will make further moves to give families more support and greater assurance. Many young couples hope to become parents. We want to create the right conditions so they feel confident and ready to start a family. The decision to get married and have children is deeply personal. But for those who wish to take the step, the government will do more to support them along the way. One of the biggest concerns for young couples is the cost of raising a family. Over successive budgets, we have strengthened support to help parents manage these expenses. As our population ages, we will also provide more support for our seniors so they can age with dignity, security, and peace of mind. We recently enhanced CareShield Life to provide higher payouts, giving seniors greater assurance against long-term care costs. We also increased CareShield Life premium subsidies to help cushion the impact of the higher premiums. I will top up the long-term care support fund by $400 million to fund the additional subsidies.
Dr. Tan, let me come to you with that. Two sides of the healthcare spectrum there, the young family starting up and the aging worker as well, caught in the middle, the sandwich generation. What do you think about the advancements, the announcements rather, that have been made to try and support them from a health and wellness perspective here?
Yeah, I think for young families, they will really value the support. I remember I have three kids right now, so when they were all in preschool, it was a very expensive time. Until they go into primary school, then the cost of the school fees sort of came down. Mm.
So isn't that ironic?
Yes, it is. It is. And I think that really goes a long way because they are in the preschool period for about 4 years. Mm. So that can really add up.
It can indeed. And so we've seen the umbrella for that, $15,000 now in terms of the support that's happening. In terms of the senior, we're also seeing a little bit of a top up into their accounts. And that's about to the value of $1,500. So some happy news for our seniors with regard to that as well. CPF top ups of up to $1,500 for those 50 plus with low balances, maybe hopefully addressing retirement adequacy. Are you caught in the sandwich generation as well, Dr. Tan? I'm curious.
Fortunately for me, my parents are still quite healthy, so that helps. So I think the work on keeping our elderly healthy for longer is actually very, very important in both reducing the overall healthcare cost, but also the quality of life.
Yes, and speaking of, Ping Sun, you were talking about the idea of keeping the older worker employed. And now with some of these top-ups to those over the age of 50, we also saw the idea of hopefully supporting the family. We know that a happy worker is a better worker, ultimately, at the end of the day. So what does this mean for companies? Companies, are they looking for that to make sure that the society that they're working within is helpfully supporting the individual?
I think companies have a role to play to build a more inclusive Singapore. So it's not just about supporting the senior workers, but I'm also glad that the budget also announced measures to incentivize and support companies to contribute to the greater good, including, I think, extending the support for the corporate volunteering scheme tax deduction by a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That would really get companies to do good, you know, even as they do well. And I think that's important because companies do have to recognize that they have to earn a social license for them to operate in Singapore as well.
Fair point. Kirsten, let's talk about the idea of some of the tax deductions that are happening, hopefully encouraging tech adoption. We're seeing as part of the AI push as well, the older worker hopefully going to reskill and upgrade in that regard. AI spending now qualifies under the Enterprise Innovation Scheme.
Yes.
That's quite encouraging for tax adoption, for tech adoption. Is that going to encourage the older worker? I like to link these things together. Yeah. Let's see it from a whole picture.
I think it's two things. I think one, you know, it has been encouraging the government is leveraging existing programs like the Enterprise Innovation Scheme or like the Productivity Solutions Grant that is already familiar to businesses, right? Mm. And not have to introduce an entirely new scheme. So there's no need for adoption. It's really that AI is an extension of our transformation journey and that is the power of that. I think PM also talked about how accounting and legal will be one of those professions that we would change. Yes. And if I take that whole experience in-house. You know, last year at PwC, EDB supported us to start an AI hub, and we are also transforming globally. We've invested $1.5 billion ongoing on the AI transformation journey. Yes. But with that, I think it's about how do we ingrain that in our everyday life? How do we have more senior members of the team share their wisdom, share their technology, share their interesting experiences and case studies, right, alongside the younger ones, and then have an infused AI-enabled type journey as we power ahead. And as, for example, some of these core industries transform or sectoral ones that Ping Sun was talking about earlier have a multiplier effect, I think, on the broader economy. And with happy workers, you know, happy employers as well as happy families, right, coming through will be a good one for Singapore, I believe.
But I think we always have to be concerned that for every PwC there's probably 100 or 1,000 over smaller PwCs.
Yes.
And how can we make sure that they are not being left out?
That's a key point I want to raise. And that's wonderful that you've tacked onto it, which is the idea of, will these benefits really only help the larger organisations who can actually capitalise on it? And the SME, which is the backbone of Singapore in many ways, are they going to be able to?
Indeed, you know, how can we hasten the diffusion of AI across the economy was one of the key concerns that we had that we fed back to the government. On the surface, I think the government has taken that in. We have heard about some of the champions of AI program, how the productivity solutions grant have some AI component. Yep. But just a note of caution that, I mean, in PM's own words, you know, he talked about how do you leverage AI? You need to look at the data, you need to look at the system, look at the process, you need to work as an entire integrated approach. So it's not about going shopping, right? You know, buy this solution from that catalog, you know, get training in that. How do you actually bring it together at a company level? A lot more hand-holding is needed. And I think we really need to pay attention that when we have all these programs, you don't end up with a program proliferation. And then companies will be lost by analysis by paralysis, doesn't know what to do.
And if I can just add to that and connecting it with the issue of senior volunteerism, I think that we have been attuned to this idea that Singapore is like a blue zone, right? And our people are going to live longer.
I have my issues with our we're not the sixth blue zone. Everybody else is like having siesta in the afternoon, has a wonderful diet and lifestyle. We just have really good hospitals. That's what we have, I think.
I think moving on, like, we have a lot of green spaces, and I think that when we talk about senior volunteerism, we're still trying to discover what does good health look like when you're 80 and 90, and then how do we mesh senior volunteerism in that, so that actually people can be productive and purposeful while leading a good and healthy life.
That's a great point. Yep. Because what is happening in Okinawa is that they have this cultural tradition of being a part of society and contributing and giving back, and that gives meaning. And there's a difference between living long and living well.
Yes. And having the meaning allows them to carry on their daily activities and stay healthy, because there is a purpose to staying healthy.
I want to ask about, speaking of purpose, since you've bucked the trend when it comes to total fertility rate in Singapore, Dr. Tan.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. We thank you, the rest of us. With three kids and housing and expenditure has been a big issue for families. The budget is hopefully trying to address the idea of HDB resale prices and rental costs, especially for young couples planning their first home. Did you, as a Singaporean father, see enough for the young family, for the young couple? Did you like that, what you saw?
Yes. I mean, I also applied for HDB and I went through the whole process.
I was declined all times that I applied. Sorry, I'm just going to say.
It's really very good compared to what other countries have, right? Our public housing system. Many countries come here to study our system, and the quality of the HDB homes are generally going up. I do think that they're also building more so that the waiting time gets shorter. That has been a key issue, like the waiting time.
So once that kicks in, you're hoping to see supply address the idea of the price. But were you disappointed that you didn't see anything specific about health, home costs in this year's budget? Or did you think that it was more supportive measures that came in, whether it's the CDC vouchers or the child CPF top-ups or that little things that would help along the way?
Yeah, I mean, there has been a continued support in terms of CDC voucher and the $500 for families with young kids. Yeah. I think that should continue. But like what Pin Soon said, this is like the government's first year, so they're probably a little bit more conservative in giving out this support also.
But one thing that did not change, and we have to talk about it, folks, CDC vouchers are here to stay, at least for this little while. Pin Soon, how are you hearing that this is very important to the business owners and the people under the SBF?
Yes, I think it's making a difference to many of the heartland merchants.
It's very targeted
at the heartland
support,
merchants,
isn't it, in many ways?
That's right. So I think it does give a boost to the heartland merchants. But I'm curious, and I've not seen statistics, that in the end, does it create a substitution effect, right? We don't know. We don't have the national level statistics. You know, are people spending more because of that, or they use a CDC voucher and then whatever savings they have, maybe they go on a holiday, you know, and therefore they
spend outside of Singapore.
But any support is, of course, welcome, and I'm certainly looking forward to the $500 in January next year.
That's right.
Yes, I think at the end of the day, right, the Singapore economy is 90% supported by SMEs, and they really form the backbone. And as we have many of these attraction of Singapore coming up the global ranks, we are also attracting a lot of foreign businesses into Singapore that is driving some competition in the heartlands as well. I think in that respect, right, it is important, as PM has said, that Singapore is really, you know, building that core for Singaporeans as well. It's really building that integration as it comes in, and ensuring that we have enough of an inclusive society, not just in, you know, day-to-day life, but also in terms of our businesses, businesses and our heartland communities.
I'm very heartened to hear that PMO mentioned a few times the renewal of the social compact.
Yes.
And making sure that...
And the We First Society.
Yeah, Singaporeans, sort of Singaporeans first in a very gentle way, but also not leaving any families behind and sharing the fruits of prosperity.
And we're seeing it operationalized in these ways as well. Kirsten, you raise an interesting idea about the competition from foreign companies coming in.
Yep.
Let's do it the other way around. Overseas expansion support has been a key aspect of this year's budget 2026. Tax deduction cap being raised to $400,000.
Yeah.
How is this going to encourage globalization? Because until today, when I try and do shows about like the top companies that have gone overseas, like I don't know why, I just fall back on the same names over and over again. I can only name the same few companies. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Is this going to encourage globalization?
I think it's a couple of things, right? I think one, there is a recognition, including in businesses, whether it's SMEs or some of the larger local enterprises, that the Singapore market is very small.
Sure.
You know, where do we go from there, right? In terms of like export markets, consumer markets, but with the geopolitical uncertainties, it makes it quite hard to bet. So I think these type of enhancements to the grants kind of facilitate their ability to double down, and they've made it such that it could be to new markets or it could be to deepen existing markets. We don't always have to search for new things. You know, you could actually deepen your reach and look for opportunities in places you already are. Perhaps we're just scratching the surface. I think,
No, I businesses clearly welcome that. We've been asking and asking, you know, government really to step up the support for companies going overseas. Mm. As you know, the cost of going overseas, the development
is
cost...
Is that what's holding companies back? Is it mainly a cost issue, you think?
I think cost is a big issue, especially if you want to go to multiple markets. Mm. You know, the current grant scheme may not support you exploring so many markets, which is why I think the tweaks to the scheme is going to be welcomed by the companies. Mm. But it's not just about going overseas. I think more can be done to what we call hunt in a pack, you know, bringing companies together as a group so that we can have a more sizable presence in many of the trade fairs and all that. Mm. It's all about lead generation, about partnerships and all that. And I think that would really help companies to grow our beyond the GDP, our GNP. At the same time, you know, beyond internationalization, I think Singapore is starting to attract a lot of companies looking to Asia.
Yes.
You know, we are starting to see more Chinese companies, Indian companies, European companies coming to Singapore, trying to use Singapore as a launch pad to the region. I think that is a very positive development. And I think one thing we need to pay some attention is that, do we have enough of the matchmakers in Singapore that can actually hold the hand of these companies in the region? Mm. And that goes down to how plugged in our companies are to the region. And it goes down to even, do we have a workforce that's fluent in the language in the region? Right, that you can actually effectively help make the connections in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Thailand and all that.
That's an interesting point to raise, because initially from its founding, the idea was that English was going to be the lingua franca that linked us to the West. Maybe not so much going forward.
I think we all have to pick up, I suppose, a second language. And otherwise, how can you say they really know the market?
Yeah.
And the reality for our Singapore companies going overseas is that I think Singapore is unique. Not many countries have the kind of operating environment in Singapore. Mm. So they really need to learn, but at the same time, build up the linkages to be of value to the Chinese companies, Indian companies who are looking at Singapore as a launchpad to
We're seeing the announcement of the RIEE, the 2030 funding, the research innovation funding is boosting that $37 billion commitment.
Yeah.
That's going to attract the right... is that going to go in line with what you were just describing, you think?
Yes, I think the RIE can be a sort of a honeypot, you know, not just to for Singapore companies, but it can be a source of attractiveness for Indian companies, Chinese companies to look at locating their R&E's center of excellence over here.
Yeah,
and hopefully that will create good jobs.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity that, right, to really bet big as we are going through, and while perhaps other economies are still adjusting where are their sales for us to sail ahead. But coming back to Ping Sun's point about Singapore core, I mean, like, you know, the Singapore Global Leadership Network, I was part of a fellowship, you know, we had a core of like Singaporean pioneers who were actually looking at, you know, foreign overseas exposures, and you see friends and fellows who are across industries, and this is now in the third cohort. You know, there's many initiatives like that, and I think the importance is what we are betting on: research, innovation, to have the humans, to have the whole businesses, families to come alongside, right? That would be really the approach that Singapore wants to
bring
through.
I certainly hope there's more of Kirsten who's willing to relocate overseas. I mean, what we find is that the people who are willing to go overseas to work sometimes may not necessarily have the right experience for companies.
True.
And when you have a lot of experience, you're not willing because maybe you have three kids.
Yes.
You know, very comfortable in Singapore and not willing to go overseas. So we really need to see what we can do to encourage more Singaporeans to work overseas.
I can podcast from a beach in Phuket easily. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It might add to the value of the podcast. You never know. I got to wrap things up very soon. We got to touch base with a few things that I must mention. Clive, let me come to you. The idea of persons with disabilities and the support that's being launched as well. A task force led by Minister of State Goh Pei Ming is looking into reviewing how it can provide meaningful support at different life stages for persons with disabilities as well as their families and caregivers. Yeah. We recently saw announcements when it comes to the mobility aids and the speeds and the letters that have to happen. Yeah. Let's talk about, we were just discussing this, Janelle, quality of living and life for all, inclusivity.
Yes. I'm very glad that we spotlighted disability and very glad that Goh Pei Ming is going to take up the lead for this. If you think about disability in Singapore, like the Purple Parade is a great example of more awareness. Like now, if you try to sign up for Purple Parade, it gets full, you know, which is great because there's ground-up initiatives and support. And also just want to call out that MP Denise Phua has been super supportive of this work.
From the beginning.
So it has grown into a movement. And that's why I'm very happy to see also that we are also caring for the less advantaged in society as we become more affluent.
Yeah. Folks, I know we're all representing different organizations and all that, but let's be Singaporean for our next 1 minute because about 9 of the 10 SMSs that came in today are all saying the same thing. Not enough support for me, the individual. And a lot of people are saying that having to do with, you know, even though we had this large amount of money to play with, talking about the idea of, you know, what about the individual? What about the home? Yeah. What about the cost of living? How all the things that we're talking about is going to affect that, right? There's a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say, you know, what is the government doing for me? But actually, there is a silent call to action that PM Wong left, right? Because he said, there's money here. We need good ideas, right? There's money here. We need good ideas. So I want to kind of twist it around to say that, you know, if you have good ideas that need money, right, there is a surplus of $8 billion expected this year. So, you know, we can put our hands up and say, look, we have a good idea. We need to do something and, you know, give us some funds for that.
Because there's always been this idea that, you know, if things are good, then gimme.
Understand. I think there's that acknowledgement of, like, you know, transitional difficulties in PM Wong's speech as well, that, you know, cost of living has gone up. There are many of these transitional changes that will cause friction, right, for many everyday Singaporeans of all of us. But at the same time, I think there are many embedded avenues to help instead of giving a direct, just a handout, which they have actually given on some of these.
This is about long-term benefit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there is long-term benefit, but also some of these short-term opportunities, if you see it, right, that the government has allowed, whether it's upscaling with AI or other transformative opportunities that I think we would need to see holistically. So we'll see how some of these details come out in the Committee of Supply debates.
I would say that, you know, people always like to see the glass as half empty, you know, I'd like to see it as half full. And rather than keep asking for more and more handout, I suppose more targeted assistance is probably needed. And we could ask ourselves what I think individually we are doing to strengthen our own capabilities. And eventually, are we gainfully employed and be able to contribute back to Singapore as well as our family as well?
Because I think we do have to put into context, yes, while we had that 1.9% of GDP buffer, yes, while we had that amount that is going to provide hopefully some cushioning, this year, next year, and the year after that, is very uncertain in terms of geopolitical outlook. It's very uncertain in terms of, yes, job transformation, but the short-term impact on a large number of workers, we don't know yet what that's going to look like.
Indeed, the buffer
is going to be required.
That's right. I think the global uncertainty continues to be there, right? Although the outlook seems to be favorable, things can just turn. Right, you know, tariff rates get changed every day.
Yeah,
you know, so and the AI boom that we are riding on, we just don't know whether it will continue too. So I think we do need to, you know, always say, you know, prepare for a rainy day of sort. Yeah, but I think the message to the business is clear, if I may. You know, looking from a budget, I just want to leave audience who are running business 5 key points very quickly. So number one, harness AI. You know, number two, venture overseas. Number three, reskill your workforce. Number four, tap growth capital that's available. And lastly, do your part to build an inclusive Singapore. So I think that will be my message to businesses.
On that note, thank you all, everybody. What a great panel discussion. My idea of a chat on radio. I've been speaking to Kok Ping Soon, CEO, Singapore Business Federation, Kirsten Lim, partner out of PwC Singapore, and Dr. Clive Tan, Senior Consultant and Public Health Specialist, Tan Tock Seng Hospital. This has been another edition of a post-budget panel on Singapore Today. I'm Daniel Martin. This has been a special talkback on CNA 938.